2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Bible says here in verses 6 through 8, I'll take over in just a second. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and why do you do that? Continuity, one of the big parts of continuity. We cannot go forward in this theme without talking about giving. I'm not a big preacher that preaches on giving and finances and money. Even when I had my TV ministry, my TV producers were always telling me I had to talk more about money from on the TV show. And there are those in this service tonight, one of them in particular staring right at me, that says I need to preach more on it. And it's not that I don't want to preach on it. I just don't feel like that's one of my niches. And to say that is silly, but let me just explain that, what I mean by that as a preacher. Some preachers have just a particular passion or burden for a certain subject. You know, there's some preachers that just, they're just excellent at preaching missions, and that's their theme. And some are church planning, and some maybe we should be preaching all these things, but you know what I mean. It's just like almost like on a football team. One guy's good at throwing the ball, one guy's good at catching the ball, one guy's good at tackling, one guy's good at blocking. And so when you think about that, a lot of times that's thing. And I've been told my niche is praising God or being on fire for God, and that's true. That's probably my niche. However, that doesn't mean I should not from time to time preach on giving, and I probably should preach and teach on it more. And Brother Sampson, there was your chance. Brother Coons beat you to it. So my wife even tells me from time to time, you need to preach on it more. And it is in the Bible, and I am obligated and responsible to teach and preach that. And the world asks us that question sometimes. Now, why do you give? And I love what the picture, the graphic Piper has for us tonight. You have it ready, Brother Piper? That graphic, is it up there? Okay. Brother Brad's getting it up. I'm sorry. It's a great picture, and I love how he always sends me these graphics, and then I approve of them. And while they're getting it ready, let's just read these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says this: "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And I thought it was interesting that Brother Piper chose that loaf of bread there. And money is sometimes referred to as bread. Did you bring home the bread today? And we use that phrase sometimes for bread. But the fact of the matter is we need money to rule the world. I mean, it rules the world, and we need money to function in this world that is ruled by it. There's two verses in my Bible early in my ministry that when I first got saved that I struggled to understand or believe. One of them was the verse in Romans 1 where God talks about the sins of homosexuality, pretty much is what he says. But then he makes a statement that there'll be a time when people will actually take pleasure. They won't be homosexuals themselves, but they'll take pleasure in them that do that. And I remember reading that when I first got saved, thinking, who in the world is going to be like that? And we are seeing that now. We are seeing that. I'm just stating facts to you, right? And as I always say, let me be consistent on that. We can preach against the sins of homosexuality, but the sins of heterosexuality are being committed more so globally, and especially in this country, and being promoted all the time by movies and television and music. But the second one was this, that the love of money is the root of all evil. When I read that verse for the first few times, I thought to myself, Lord, I'm supposed to believe every word you say, but wow, you really said the love of money is the root, not just of some evil, but all evil. All evil? And I tell you, the longer I've been at this and the more I study and the more I see the downfall of America, wow, that verse is so true. Unbelievable. From politics to education to the church, the love of money. Money is not evil. The love of money is not even evil. But the love of money is the root of all evil. That's the part. And I think we preach on that wrong sometimes. Bless God, you should never love money. I like money. I do. How many of you like money? How many of you like to have more money than you have right now in your bank account, right? And if you do, you should give it to your local church, which is what I'm going to preach about in just a second here, okay? I'm for that. I'm preaching for giving, amen? Not for giving, for space giving, all right? And it's significant. It's powerful. It's a huge part of continuity. If we are not giving financially to our local church, we're missing out on a huge part of continuity, listen, on the front end and the back end. And here's why. When we give financially, and I'm going to get to this in just a second, when we give financially faithfully to the church, and not just to the church, when we become a giving people, it's amazing what God will make us abound in so many other areas of our life. Because the principle of giving is not just about money. It should apply to all facets of life. The giving of love, the giving of time. The word bountifully in this verse literally means It'll be, literally, you ready for this? It's exciting. That when you give financially bountifully, you will have a supernatural abundance of time to do many more things. That's what it means. It's amazing that God will give us more time. He'll make 24 hours for me or you look like different, longer than 24 hours for other people in a good way. Some of you are like, man, I don't want my day to be longer. It's long enough. No, but you know what I mean. So that's significant. Okay, now, so Brielle, I'm sorry, I'm almost through. Okay, so the average weekly giving amount per churchgoer is $17 per week right now. That's pathetic. If you do the math on what Americans make, that's very bad. And that's about $884 a giver per year. And we wonder why we can't fund things, and missionaries have to travel for years to raise support. 37% of regular church attendees don't give money at all to the church. 17% of American families today have reduced the amount that they give to the local church, and 7% of church members have dropped regular giving by 20% or more. And there's only about 10 million tithers and consistently in the whole country that donate about $50 billion a year to church and nonprofits. Now, if you know anything about numbers, you could go back and listen to this later. Those are staggering numbers, not in a good way, all right? 80% of Americans give just 2% of their income. 80% of Americans give just 2% of their income. You should do, just for fun sometime, read, because it's public knowledge, read what the average politician who makes millions of dollars gives to charity. It's laughable. Did you know that Hillary Clinton one time claimed on her tax exempt or on her tax returns that she gave away used underwear? I don't want to sound crude or nastier, but who in God's name would touch that thing? I'm just saying. I mean, that's nasty. That's just disgusting. Why in the world would she give that away, and who in the world took that from her? And why would she use that? Why would she tell people she did that? Don't give your underwear away as a charity thing. Just throw it in the garbage. Somebody say amen right there, okay? I probably shouldn't have said that from the pulpit. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, you don't pay much, you don't get. That's, you know, hey, it is what it is, right, Brother Bussy? I just, you know. All right, stay with me now. But 80% only give 2% of their income. If every Christian, listen to this, if every Christian just tithed, that's just 10%, which, by the way, I'm going to show you in a second, is Old Testament commandment. It's Old Testament commandment. All right, we believe the Bible dispensationally. Watch this now. The religious organizations of the world would have a surplus of $139 billion. And with that $139 billion, they would be able to fund just about every ministry on this planet right now. And there would be zero debt for all the churches and mission projects. That's amazing. If every Christian just gave 10%, that's it. Not even asking for more, just 10%, right? Let's see. There's a couple more stats in here, ma'am. And some of these I guess I'll go and stop there. Thanks, baby. So tonight I want to talk about the importance of giving. You know, I always think it's funny that when you hear a preacher preach that they got saved, and I think even Brother Morgan mentioned a few weeks ago, I remember when I first got saved, my pastor made sure to communicate to me when I first asked him, man, I'm saved, what do I do? He said, man, you need to start reading your Bible every day. So I did. I need to get baptized. I scheduled, I got baptized. And then he immediately said, you need to start giving. Pastors are good about that, right? There are Baptist churches and other churches in Jefferson City alone that as soon as you join the church, I won't name names. I know this for a fact, though. I've seen the envelopes. As soon as you join the church mails you a box of giving envelopes. I thought, man, if we started that here, man, we'd probably have a church split. No. But it's amazing. It's amazing. The church's function a lot of times is it's all about the money. And I think that's what makes our church different is we're not all about the money. However, money is a huge part of the church functions. We have to have it. It's a necessary evil in this world, right? So I want to give you four thoughts, okay? Four words that we're just going to discuss or elaborate on real quickly. Number one, is it commanded, okay? Is it commanded? Because as we study the Bible as Christians today, we should desire to please the commandments of the Lord. We should desire to please Him so much that we would heed His commandments, all right? Now, the Old Testament teaches clearly that 10% was to be given. That was a bare minimum. They also talk about surplus offerings in the Old Testament. I don't have time to get into all that. And if you look at the book of Malachi, of course, he talks about bringing your tithe to the storehouse, and God will bless you for it. But in the New Testament, watch this now, we're at a different, it's a different thing, okay? We're not under the law, as Galatians teaches and other epistles teach us. Rather, we are led by the Spirit of God. So I heard a preacher say this statement many, many years ago. He said, if the Old Testament saints were commanded to give 10% of their income because that God commanded them to, and they were being preserved by the blood of animals, how much more should we give if we have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? That's a great challenge when you think about it. So God is simply saying in this passage here, it's not really a command. He's just telling you it's the principle of ROI, return on investment. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. And he says in this passage here, he says, I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's what he teaches. So God is saying, if we give just a little bit, we will get back a little bit of what we gave. If we give a lot of bit, we'll get a lot of bit back of what we gave. It's a beautiful principle. And God teaches us that. So in the New Testament, as a pastor, it pains me to say this, but does God command the local church to tithe? He does not. Now, I know some of you are shocked by that. Some watching online like, what? We've heard tithing all these years. Well, I challenge you to read in the epistles of Paul, which is church doctrine, if we are commanded to tithe. We are not commanded to tithe. We are commanded to give, and giving includes a whole lot of things. And Jesus teaches giving in principle, it is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. That was our theme for 2021. Now, having said that, I believe every Christian should tithe. There's a lot of Old Testament commandments that are still good to follow today in principle because they are good for us. Now, let's establish one thing straight about the subject of commandments. God does not need our money. God himself personally does not need our financial support. And missionaries need our support. The pastor staff, they are part of the church's financial structure and support. But God does not need any money. We know that. So why does God make it a big deal for us to give? That's what I want to talk about in the next few points, all right? But number one, I want you to notice it's not commanded. However, if we are Christians tonight and we're not giving as we've been blessed, we're missing out on huge blessings from God. And the devil knows that, by the way, because it's interesting. Now, study this. I know debt has been an issue all through the Bible and history, and I've been guilty of being in debt. Many of us have. Mortgage payments, all that stuff. America's a different society. I understand that today. Our church is in debt, and we hate that, right? Now, just watch this, though. In the Old Testament, debt was an issue, but it wasn't as bad as it is in society today as a whole. And there's proof of that. And the devil knew that the tithe is not necessarily a command. So if I can just get Americans in so much debt they can't give bountifully, then I don't have to worry about the church being funded or missions being funded like they should. Because here's what I believe. Many Christians today desire to give more financially. They really wish they could give bountifully, but they got too much debt. They got too many bills. Sometimes they're unnecessary bills, right? Do we really need that house? Do we really need that car? Do we really need those clothes? And I'm guilty of that. We're Americans, all right? That's the American way it is, all right? And don't get offended at it, please. Let me just take you to the Philippines and Ecuador, and you'll come back and say, oh, my goodness, we are supremely blessed, right? I mean, it's unbelievable. I think the problem with many Americans today is you've never been out of the country. You need to go sometimes. You need to go to a third world country and see how they live versus how we live. You do understand that the average Filipino right now lives in his country on an average of $50 to $100 a month salary. $50 to $100 a month salary. $50 to $100 a month salary. I can make almost 50 bucks an hour interpreting sign language in America. 1 hour for that. That's crazy, right? I mean, it's just insane how, and don't even ask how much lawyers get paid an hour or retired power plant operators get paid an hour. Consultants, right? I'm just kidding. But you see my point tonight. We are missing out on the blessing of giving because we've been trapped by debt. So how do I get out of that debt, preacher? Give. And give and give and give and watch God do miracles. He will. God honors the principle of giving. So number one, it's not commanded. Number two, so why should we give? Number two, how many of us like blessings? That's the word. That's the word for the next statement. Blessings. Do you like blessings? The world asks, why do you give? I have people ask me that sometimes. Right now, if you go to certain stores, they always ask you if you want to donate to St. Jude Hospital or to the Red Nose Project. Or, I mean, every time they ask you for Children's Hospital, right, Michelle says, You get asked that almost every time you shop somewhere nowadays. And I always think it's amazing that people just like, man, all the church talks about is money. Well, so does Walmart. Yeah. Try to go into Walmart and load up a cart and just walk out the front door. Try to do that. And so do football games, basketball games, right? I was just listening to sports, a report this morning, that the average beer right now in the NBA games for the playoffs is $15 for one beer. One beer, $15. And you know what? They're selling them by the thousands at these games, they said. Oh, parking is usually $50 minimum to park at these stadiums. And tickets, let's not even go there. Tickets minimum for these playoff NBA games or NFL playoff football games can be ridiculous. Minimum $200, $250, $300 per person to the upwards of thousands of dollars. And a hot dog can be $10, $15 for a beer, and $50 for parking, and $1,000 for tickets. No problem. We don't bat an eye spinning on that. We come to church. What? He always talks about money. Actually, I don't. This preacher doesn't, right? So why would God strongly recommend it? Give us the incentive of boundings, because God knows it's a part of the package of blessings. God gives you and me blessings every single day. And when we give and we're part of the giving, the process of the church, we will see blessings that we cannot explain. Missionaries have told stories. I called a member last Missions Jubilee, and Brother Smith told the story about needing money for the gas and the pregnant lady that was needed to use the restroom in his RV, and the story of how he just needed $100. How many remember that story? Listen, I travel and preach a lot, and I hear missionaries and preachers tell stories like that. I could testify of stories like that. It's amazing how God does things like that. My aunt and uncle, the Bradleys, how much time you have? When they're coming back soon. All day long, they can tell you stories about how they had a need of $3,000, got exactly $3,000 an hour before they needed it. Just stories like that, samples like that. When you consistently give, blessings will abound. So number one, it is not commanded. But church, we're missing out if we're not giving. And again, 10% is a bare minimum. That would be just a starting point. I would try to pray about giving more and more of that. All right? And as your pastor, I want to be an example. You know my heart when I say this. I was figuring some things up. My wife and I give over 33% of our income to, not just to the church, but to Christian projects altogether. This church gets a lot of it, but 33%, one-third. Wow, I thank God for that. And I'm only telling you that as an example. And can I tell you something? God has blessed me for that. And let me help you something. When you write out a tithe check, don't worry about making it look like a gas station sign. You know, $111.97 and 9/10 of a penny. Just round up a little bit. You'd be okay. Shock God and round up a little bit. I'm amazed sometimes at how we have to be so precise to that 10%. Come on, man. Don't be a Scrooge when it comes to God's money. By the way, it's his money in the first place anyway. He's the one that gave us the ability to work and do the things that we do. So be a part of the blessing. All right, so number one, it's not commanded. Number two, there's blessings that come with it. Now number three, in my opinion, in studying the Bible, this is the most important part of all of our giving in the eyes of God. Our attitude in giving. Our attitude in giving is very vital. Now why do you do that? Okay, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart. By the way, that statement goes back to, I think, the statement on, I see that in my notes. Purpose in your heart as the Holy Spirit leads. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will lead us to purpose in our heart. Things, right? The Holy Spirit will lead us to give. You know, it's okay to ask the Holy Spirit if you got a bonus, or if you got a check you didn't expect. I do that oftentimes. I got a check I didn't expect. Recently, a church in another state said we choose pastors to pray for every few months, And your name was on the list, and we took up an offering for you last night, and they sent me like $311. I just got a check in the mail. I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. So I prayed about it, and God said I didn't get to keep a penny of that. He said, you weren't expecting that, so you don't need it. I said, I can use it. He said, you don't need it, though. And so he told me what to do with it. So I did what he told me to do, and I was blessed for that. You can ask him. He will lead you. It's amazing what he'll lay on your heart when it comes to asking God what he wants us to do with those blessings in life, all right? And this all stems back to a good attitude. A good attitude. Look at verse 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for. Now watch this. There's not many things in the Bible God specifically says he loves. I mean, we know he loves people as a whole. But when it comes to the subject of service or an attribute, he says he loveth a what? Cheerful giver. We should be happy to give. We should be excited. One preacher I know, every time the offering plate passes, he stands up and says, "Glory to God," puts his money in and then passes on and sits back down. He wants the whole church to know how excited he is to give, right? You say, "Oh, he's showing off." Well, you might think that, but I know the guy's heart. I think he just wants to show God he's a cheerful giver. Now, let's be honest tonight. Now, I know we don't write checks like we used to. I mean, online banking, right? I mean, I do everything online banking. When I click to pay my utility bill every month, I don't get excited. Yes! Oh, man, this is the day I get to pay Amron UE for my leg. I don't get excited about that. God don't care. My water bill. I notice the older my kids get, the more showers they take, my water bill's going up. Amen. Water is expensive, right? I don't get excited to pay my water bill. And there's been times in my Christian walk that I just paid or I gave my money to the church just out of habit. And the Lord spoke my heart and said, "Hey, Randy, you're losing that excitement. You should be happy that you got to do this." Oh, Lord, forgive me. God loveth a cheerful giver. This is the heartbeat of giving. It should be just a thrill and an honor to be able to give, to be a part of God's work, and to give with an attitude of joy. And when the world looks at us and they realize, "Wow, you are so good. You're just excited about giving to the things of God. What a blessing it is to know that when I do give to the things of God, the blessings will abound." I mean, you turn on the television nowadays, they're asking money for everything nowadays. They want us to support dogs around the world now. I mean, there's like sick dogs in other countries they want us to send money to. And I mean, I'm not saying one specifically, but I recently read it was a scam. Dogs only got 3% of the money. 97% went to all the people that got them. They ran off. And the poor dogs are still starving. They still want their milk bones. Anyway. What are you saying, preacher? America is a very giving, charitable country. We are. You know that my wife got a message today already from a friend of ours, saying that you can contribute to meals to feed the families that lost their kids yesterday in Texas. Man, I love America. I don't know what other country on the planet does that fast. And people are signing up like crazy to send money to buy food for the families that lost their kids yesterday. We might do it, right? I love that. That's America. That's the American way. But for some reason, there's been a disconnect when it comes to church. And I don't blame the American people. Maybe it's because the televangelists have been begging for money. No, a preacher does not need money to buy his own jet. I'm a preacher. I said it. He doesn't need his own jet. I don't mind flying coach when I fly over the place. Would I like to fly first class sometimes? Sure, as big as I am, I sure would. But I fly coach because churches reimburse me for the plane tickets, and I'm not going to make him pay for a first class ticket, right? I get upgrades sometimes and all that stuff. But the point I'm trying to make is this. We should have the right attitude. It's an honor. It's a blessing to be able to give to the work of God. And we should be excited about it. We should anticipate the opportunity to give to missions, to give to the church, to give to the building project. And God sees that. And the Bible says God loveth the cheerful giver. Finally, number four, and I'm done. And this is the part I love. We get to be part of the team, the global team. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4 with me real quickly, and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 4. Now, I believe Christians should invest. Me and my family do some investments, and I read business books all the time trying to find out things you can invest in. But here's the fact, church. If you're banking on the stock market to save your life for the next 50 years, that's a gamble. I really love cryptocurrency. And some people think I'm crazy for that, but I just do. I think it's going to be the one world antichrist currency. That's just my opinion. So I've bought, me and Grant buy some cryptocurrency. We're not rich from it yet, but we enjoy looking at it and following it and dabbling in that a little bit, right? But you understand that there's one place on this planet, one place, that you are guaranteed every penny will be used for his good. And that's giving to the church. There's nothing else like it. I like real estate. I'm for real estate. But real estate's not a guarantee even. Nothing is a guarantee. We all know that, except this. Look at Philippians chapter 4, and I love this verse. Philippians chapter 4, we'll be done. I told you I'm not very good at this subject. I need to get better. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "Now ye, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So Paul's saying, of all the churches, nobody had contacted me about giving and receiving except you. And based on history and knowledge, Philippi was probably the poorest church of all the churches that Paul wrote epistles to. And the Bible says in verse number 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You see, when we give to missions and we give to the church, someday in heaven we'll see what God did with one penny and that $1 bill and that $5 and that $100 and that $1,000. The church planning conference, we just don't know, but God is able to take a penny and multiply it way more than the stock could ever do. Way more than any hedge fund controller could ever do. Way more than real estate could ever do. And God can do miraculous things, little as much when God is in it, right? And when we give, because we want to give, I don't have to be commanded to. And when we give, we see blessings. And when we give, because our attitude's right, and God loves a cheerful giver. And when we give to be a part of this team, this wonderful team of missions, global missions, church planting, when we get to be a part of that, there is a guaranteed 100% ROI, return on investment, when you give money to God. Because he takes it and uses it for the glory of God. I don't want to go into any details, but our family, in the last 6 months, have had three serious instances of fraud where someone hacked our cards and spent thousands of dollars on our cards. It's ridiculous. It's sad. It's sad. I don't know how anybody can shave their face or sleep at night stealing money from people online. It's just sad that we live like that as a country. And when I called the bank, I asked if they would give me the permission to find out who it was. I'd like to pay them a visit. You know, but we know they're probably halfway around the world, and we know how it is. And Brother Travis, you and I are supposed to talk about cybersecurity sometime, and I'm fascinated by that. But it's such a blessing to know that today when I clicked on my online giving and I gave to the church, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God's going to take that money and do more with it than I could ever dream. There's one bank, if you will. There's one investment, if you will. There's one place that you can invest your money, and really God's money that he gave to me, back in, that guarantees eternal results, miraculous results, life-changing results. And that is giving to the local church and giving to the things of God. So why do you give? Number one, not because it's commanded, because I want to, because God's been good to me. Number two, I give because it's a blessing. Because number three, I love giving. We should love giving. It's an exciting thing. It's a happy thing. And number four, we get to be a part of this big mission, this big team, this work that's reaching and evangelizing the world for the cause of Christ. Thank you for listening so well tonight. I heard your bad eyes are closed.
From a distance, he'd be watching me. I guess somehow he knew that in my heart I long to be like him. In time, the closer we became, the more it seemed I grew. I'd fall, he'd pick me up, and I'd try again. He loves me even when I do the things I shouldn't do. And when I fail to do the things I should. I've heard it said that love is blind, and I've come to know it's true. 'Cause he forgets the bad and remembers all the good. In my Father's eyes, there's no wrong I've done. In my Father's eyes, I am the perfect son. He must see someone I can't see, and it makes me wanna try to be like the sun that's in my Father's eyes. When this life is over, my last trial I've gone through, 'twill be worth it all to hear Him say, well done. And maybe then I'll understand just what He saw in me, but I'm sure I'll find He was blinded by the sun in my Father's eyes. There's no wrong I've done in my Father's eyes. I am the perfect son. He must see someone I can't see, and it makes me want to try to be like the sun that's in my Father's eyes. He must see someone I can't see, and it makes me want to try to be like the sun that's in my Father's eyes.